This morning was one of the two times during the year that we mess with our clocks. In the spring, we spring ahead and we lose an hour of sleep. And this morning, in the fall, we fall back and get that hour back. And it's confusing for a lot of people. In fact, we were cleaning the church Sunday, and one of the guys that helps us clean the church didn't show up. And the rest of us sort of pitched in and started his job and got here about a quarter till 10. We started at 9. And I said, "Where you been?" He said, "What do you mean? It's just a quarter to 9. I said, "When did you set your clock back?" He said, "I set it back last night." I said, "You did it too early. You're going to be late for everything in the next 2 days unless you fix it." But he went ahead and did the rest of his job. Now, I haven't talked to anybody today, but in past years, we've had people show up, at Sunday school time, and there's nobody here, and they said, "Did we cancel church today?" And then, I don't know if this is true today. I haven't talked to anybody and didn't notice anybody, but sometimes we have people that come to Sunday school not intending to just because they didn't set their clocks back and they got here an hour early. But when we change time like this, it throws our internal clocks off. And for the next few days, if you're like me, you'll find yourself asking, "What time is it? What time is it really?" And that's my subject this morning. What time is it? You know, the Bible speaks a lot about time. We read from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven." And then we read in verse 11, "God hath made everything beautiful in his time." And so there are times in our spiritual life, the life that we have in God, the life that we have in Christ, there are times that God wants us to be aware of. In our spiritual life, we need to ask the question, just like many of us will be asking the question for the next couple of days, what time is it? And this morning, I want to mention just four times. I know there's others that God mentions in his word, but I want to mention four times, four different times that he mentions about how we should be aware of time in our spiritual life. The first one is mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2, a time to be saved. The Bible says there, "Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." So there's a time that we need to be saved. There's a time in our spiritual lives that we need to be born again. A time that we need to come face to face with the fact that we are sinners. The Bible says all of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. We do not measure up to God's standard. God's standard is the Lord Jesus Christ. We can compare ourselves to other people, and we can find somebody that we could say, "Hey, I'm not as bad as a sinner as they are. They're a worse sinner than I am." Well, that God says, don't compare yourself to other people. Compare yourself to my standard. Compare yourself to my son. And there are none of us, there are none of us, there are none of us that are as good as Jesus. In fact, the Bible says all the good that we can offer to God, all of our morality, all of our kindness, all of our honesty, all of our courtesy in God's eyes, on God's scales, are as filthy rags. The Bible says all our righteousnesses, plural, in God's sight are like rags that the lepers of old would wipe the pus from their bodies, throw it in the dirt, and that pus would gather the dust of the ground, and that would be a filthy rag. And God says, in my sight, every good thing that you have to offer is like one of those filthy rags. So there's a time that comes in our life when we come face to face with the fact that we are sinners. A time when we come face to face with the fact that there's a penalty for that sin. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. God is a holy God. God hates sin. God has to punish sin. For him to be a just God, he has to punish sin. His justice demands that sin be paid for. Amen. He'd stop being God if he didn't make us pay for sin. That's part of what makes him God. And the punishment for that sin is separation from him. That's what the Bible calls spiritual death, to be separated from that one that created us, to be separated from that one that loves us, to be separated from that one that wants us to be part of his family. That's the punishment of sin, and the Bible calls it spiritual death. Now, in eternity, there's only two places that exist. Don't believe anybody that tells you there's more than two. There's just two. There's heaven, the home of God, and there's hell, a place that was made for Satan and his demons. If the punishment of sin is to be separated from God, and God's in heaven, that only leaves us one place to go, and that's that place called hell. And the punishment of sin is to be separated from God now, and then to be separated from God for all eternity in that place called hell, where there's fire, there's no foundation, there's nothing to stand on, it's a bottomless pit, where the worm dieth not, where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. And there's a time in our spiritual life where we need to come face to face with the fact that we are sinners. We need to come face to face with the fact that there's a penalty for sin. And there's a time we need to come face to face and know that even though God hates sin, he loves sinners. Amen. He loves you. And he loves me. And he doesn't want any of us to go to hell. He doesn't want any of us to be separated from him. He wants to fellowship with us. That's why he made us. So out of that love, God devised a way that his justice could be met, a way that sin could be paid for, a way that we could be with him in heaven, and that way is the Lord Jesus Christ. He said in John 14:6, I am the way. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, the way involved God's sinless, perfect Son taking every one of our sins upon himself and paying for those sins. The prophet Isaiah talked about it in chapter 53 of the book that bears his name. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Here's what that verse in Corinthians says. Now is the time to believe that. Now is the time to receive that. Now is the time to be saved. You see, now is the only time you can be saved. You can't, yesterday's gone. You can't go back and relive yesterday and say, well, I'm going to be saved yesterday. Can't do that. You can't say, well, I'll be saved tomorrow. You don't have any promise of tomorrow. We hope tomorrow comes, but none of us have any promise of tomorrow. And so that's why the Bible says, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the only chance that you have to ask Jesus to be your Savior. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, you've never been saved, now is the time. Right now is the time. This moment is the time. And I would ask you right now, if you're not saved, that you would pray this prayer to God. Dear Lord, I'm a sinner. I deserve hell, but I believe that you love me, and I believe that you sent Jesus to die in my place. And right now, I'm asking you to save me from my sin. I believe what Jesus did for me on Calvary, and I receive it for myself, and I'm asking you to save me. The Bible says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Amen. And if there's just one or two people here this morning that's never received Christ, I encourage you to do it right now, because now is the time to be saved. God also says there's a time for us to trust. In Psalm 56, verse 3, the Bible says, what time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. You know, we live in a scary world. There's violence still in our schools. They had to shut four or five schools down in Detroit. Four of them were Catholic schools because there was a threat against the students. We still are afraid of terrorist attacks. You know, we took out the top two leaders in ISIS this week. And many people think there's going to be retaliation against the United States of America for us doing that. And even though the stock market is at all-time highs, there's still many people saying, hey, there's going to be an economic collapse. The stock market is going to drop. The dollar is going to lose the value. And everything's going to be just, everything's just going to go to pieces. And so this is the time, and I could mention some other examples, but this is the time, if we're not careful, it's easy for even Christians to be afraid. In times like these, we need to look to our God and trust Him and know that regardless of what happens on this earth, we can depend on Him. He'll take care of us. He'll provide what we need regardless of what happens in the world about us. But we have a God who loves us and will give us what we need and always, always, always has His eye on us. He never slumbers or sleeps. I told you a story before about that little boy who lost his mother to cancer. He's just 8 or 9 years old. And the first few days after mom went to heaven, all his cousins and his aunts and uncles and friends were gathered around the family. But they all went home. And it was just him and dad in the house. His room was across the hallway from his dad's room. And his dad helped him say his prayers and tucked him into bed and then went to his room across the hall to get into bed. And hear his little boy crying. He said, son, what's the matter? He said, Daddy, I miss Mommy. Can I sleep with you? And Daddy said, come on. You can get in the bed with me. So he crawled into the bed next to his dad, and his dad heard some more whimpering. He said, son, what's the matter? You're in the bed with me. And he says, Daddy, are you looking at me? Have you got your eyes on me? And his dad said, yes, son, I got my eyes on you. Listen, as long as we know that our Heavenly Father has His eyes on us, everything will be okay. Everything will be okay. And the Bible says He'll never leave us or forsake us. He'll never take His eyes off of us because we have a God that never slumbers or sleeps. He's always watching out for His children. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. There's a third time that God mentions in His word, time to awake. I read from the book of Romans chapter 13, verses 11 and then 12 through 14. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. What Paul was saying to the church at Rome is this. He said, look, hey, it's time to wake up. If you're a Christian, it's time to start living like a Christian. If you know Jesus as your Savior, it's time to start living your life based on this book so that other people can know and there'll be no doubt in their mind whose team you're on. You belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. Now live like it. All of us think we have plenty of time to do what Jesus wants us to do. But Paul's saying, you don't have plenty of time. The day is at hand. The night is far spent. And there's too many Christians that are playing Christianity. There's too many Christians that are Christians only when it's convenient. And Paul says, wake up! If your Christianity is real, it's now time to start living it. The world needs to see it, that you have a God that not only saves you, but takes care of you, and will take you into eternity to live with Him forever. That's what the world needs to see. And Paul says, it's time to awake. And then number four, quickly, he says, there's a time where we're going to depart. In 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul writes, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. It's going to come a time that we'll leave this world. It'll either be by way of the rapture or by way of death. Paul says, I'm ready for either one. He said, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. And so I ask you this morning, are you ready for your departure? Hey, you've heard me say before, I wouldn't care if we never had another funeral in this church. I mean, I would be the happiest pastor there is if I never had to conduct another funeral service. And I pray we don't have, I pray often, Lord, help us not to have another funeral for 2 or 3 years. Just keep people alive, keep them healthy, keep them active. But I know if the Lord tarries, if Jesus doesn't come back and rapture the church, that sooner or later all of us are going to face death. Now, Paul says, I'm ready. I've finished my course. I've run my race. I've kept the faith. And the question is, are we ready? Now, I'm not talking about getting saved under this point. I'm talking to Christians. Are you running the race that God wants you to run? Are you fighting the fight that he wants you to fight? Are you doing the things that he wants you to do? We think we have all the time in the world, but we don't. Again, just like when it comes to salvation, the only day we have to serve the Lord is today. Amen. We can't go back and do it yesterday, and we have no promise of tomorrow. The only day that we have to serve the Lord is today. Amen. What are we going to do? Are we going to serve him? Are we going to run the race today? Are we going to fight that fight today? Are we going to run that course today? That's what God's telling us. There's going to come a time where you're going to depart this earth. And again, I hope for all of us it's the rapture. I'd be a happy preacher if we all met in the air after hearing the trumpet and that voice that says, come up hither, that we rise together and meet the Lord in the air, and so we will ever be with the Lord. But if that doesn't happen, are we ready to depart? Can we say like the Apostle Paul, Lord, I've done what you wanted me to do. I've done my best. I'm ready to go whenever you call. Those times God wants us to be aware of. The time to be saved. If you're here this morning and you're not saved, in the next few moments, you can make the decision to receive Christ. Amen. A time to trust him. Scary world, but we can trust our God. A time to awake, and then a time to depart. God says, you need to ask the question, what time is it? What time is it? And be aware of these times that I've put in your spiritual life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that you have us think about those times in our life. And I pray if there is somebody here this morning, they've never come to Christ. They've never admitted that they were a sinner and that there was a penalty for that sin. Maybe they've never heard before how Jesus died for them to pay the price of their sins. I pray that that verse we read from Corinthians would be true of them this morning, that now is the accepted time. Today is the day of their salvation. Help them, Father, not to put it off. Help them to see their sin. Help them to see the price that Jesus paid. Help them to come to him this morning. Help them to pray the prayer you taught sinners to pray. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me. Save me, Jesus, from the penalty of my sin. And then, Father, for the many Christians that are here, I pray we trust you. I pray we'd wake up and start living the way you want us to live. And I pray you'd help us all to realize that any day, you could call us to heaven. And so what we're going to do for you, we need to do now. We need to do it today. And I pray you'd help us to get busy. I pray you'd help us live the Christian life in a way that would bring honor and glory to our Savior. I pray, Father, now you'd bless this time of invitation. Speak to our hearts. Again, if there's people here that need to be saved, I pray you'd help them to come. And we'll take the Bible and show them how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. If there's Christians that need to make other decisions, I pray you'd speak to their heart, Holy Spirit, and help them to make those decisions. And we do it all to honor our Savior. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.